Let me jump into a couple of things that we're doing here and then open it up to questions. Earlier this week, I reintroduced a bill that I had introduced in the previous Congress with Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison from Texas. It's called the Southwest Border Violence Reduction Act. I think everyone's aware of the enormous problems, law enforcement problems that we're experiencing in communities in northern Mexico, Ciudad Juarez. There were over 1,600 deaths in Ciudad Juarez in 2008. We've had terrible problems, of course, in Palomas as well, right south of New Mexico. This legislation would authorize $30 million over the next 2 years to expand the Justice Department's Project Gunrunner initiative. And this is an effort to prevent guns being illegally exported out of the United States into Mexico and sold to these gangs. Over 90% of the weaponry that they have confiscated from these drug gangs in Mexico is, in fact, weaponry that's come from the United States and has gone into Mexico illegally. So we believe the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Agency needs to be given more resources, and that's the purpose of that bill. In addition to that, we passed a major, or we're getting ready to pass, we've had a couple of votes already on getting to final passage of a major public land bill. And it includes a lot of provisions, a lot of individual pieces of legislation that are important to us in New Mexico. Very briefly, let me just mention there's a legislation there to finally implement the settlement of the Navajo Gallup water dispute. The Navajo Gallup pipeline project is authorized for federal funding as part of that legislation. Eastern New Mexico's rural water system is authorized to provide drinking water to many of the communities in eastern New Mexico. Out of Ute Lake, there's a Secure Water Act, which really has national implications. It's intended to allow us to develop the basic information we need to better monitor water supply and deal with that. There's an Albuquerque Biological Park title clarification bill. There's a Rio Grande Pueblo Irrigation Infrastructure Improvement Act. There are lots of bills in here that are important to us in New Mexico. I was very glad we could include them. I hope that later today or at the latest tomorrow, we'll go ahead and finally pass that bill, send it to the House, and then I hope it'll go directly to the president for signature. So let me stop and take any questions anyone has. I have a list here. I'm not sure exactly who's on. Is Craig Kennedy there? I don't hear Craig, so I assume he's not. Sarah Gustavus, are you there, Sarah?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Did you have a question?
I do. So next week, Governor Richards is going to give his State of the State address, and we're looking at a major budget shortfall in New Mexico. I know in the past you supported some efforts to do alternative energy development, and that some say that might diversify the New Mexico economy a little bit, bring in some more money that's not making our budget less dependent on oil and gas. Anything on the horizon for the coming year for alternative energy investment that might be good for New Mexico?
Well, in fact, I think there's quite a bit on the horizon. Part of this so-called economic recovery plan that our President-elect Obama has been urging us to work with him to develop, a substantial part of that will be focused on dealing with some of these energy problems. And in particular, we're doing a variety of tax provisions that will make it more attractive for companies to come in and invest in these kinds of projects and in manufacturing facilities, and also make it more attractive for individual homeowners to put alternative energy technology to work in meeting their energy needs. So there's a lot that we're hoping to include as part of this tax package and part of this economic recovery package, and much of that should benefit us in New Mexico.
I have a follow-up question to that. In the financial package, are are you going to fight to make sure the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans are rescinded to help cover some of the costs of the financial packages?
I don't believe that that'll be part of this financial recovery package. I think the as you may know, those tax cuts, those Bush tax cuts you're talking about, expire in 2010, and I don't know how quickly the administration, the new president, will want us to proceed to make changes in those or repeal some of those tax provisions. So we're waiting for more information on the administration's position on that. But I think this economic recovery package at this point is designed to stimulate economic activity, create jobs, and it does so both through additional spending and through reductions in taxes in some areas. So I would not expect the Bush tax cuts to be part of that.
Thank you, Senator.
Uh-huh. Bill Dupuy, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Morning.
Stephen Chu, there were reports before your hearing yesterday that you were not alerted to the fact that he was going to be nominated, at least not officially alerted. You may have found out around the edges. Was he the candidate you were hoping for? Did you have someone else in mind? Was it true you didn't know he was coming up to be nominated?
Well, I think it's fair to say I really am not have not been informed on any of the nominations that the president's chosen before some public statement was made, but I really wouldn't have expected to be. I'm not part of the transition team working with the Obama administration. Stephen Chu is a excellent choice. He's somebody that I've known now for several years. In fact, about a month before the election, I spent a day with him out in California at Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory, which he was the director of, has been the director of up until now. So I strongly support his nomination. I can't think of anyone who would have been a better choice. Obviously, there are other people who would have done a fine job as well, but I had no problem with the president's decision in this regard.
Concerning the national labs, which are not involved to a great extent right now in New Mexico in climate research, is that going to be a new emphasis? And what happens to the weapons programs?
Well, I believe both of our national laboratories do, in fact, do some work in relation to climate change. And I would hope and expect that over the next few years, each of our national laboratories will do even more work related to climate change. And not just our labs, but all of the Department of Energy labs around the country. I think at the same time, the core mission of the two national laboratories in New Mexico is to maintain our nuclear deterrent, and that will continue. I don't see that changing, but I hope that we'll see more attention to non-nuclear weapons type work and more resources devoted to non-nuclear weapons type work.
There was no discussion of budgets for the labs or for the Energy Department, I understand. Why was that?
Well, I think the truth is we're sort of in uncharted territory here about the future plans with regard to the federal budget. We're going to have an enormous federal deficit this year, which I will vote to go ahead with because it is something which is needed in order to get our economy growing again. And once we do get it growing again, I know the president is very committed to, the newly elected president is very committed to trying to get our fiscal house in order, trying to get the revenues that we need in order to operate government on a pay-as-you-go basis. And I'll support that. I do think President-elect Obama has indicated strong support for increased funding for science and technology development. And that, to my mind, translates into increased funding for the Department of Energy and for our national labs.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Marco, are you there? I don't hear Marco. John McBreen, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Senator. And let's look at the Treasury nominee, Timothy Geithers, since you are on the Senate Finance Committee. As President Clinton found out with his first nominee for Attorney General, how much can the little things maybe, you know, put a nomination in peril, such as whatever reason the Treasury nominee's income tax is not being paid? Could that be a factor?
Well, in fact, as I understand what the circumstance there is, it was not that his income taxes weren't paid. They were paid. What was not paid was the payroll tax on the compensation he received in a self-employment mode. He was self-employed and was supposed to pay payroll tax on that because he happened to be working for the International Monetary Fund. Had he been working for a U.S. corporation or something, of course, he would not have been paying that. Any rate, I believe, based on my conversations with him, that this was an honest mistake that he made, and that the tax preparers who were advising him also made. And so I do not see it as fatal to his nomination in any way. I think he's an excellent choice for Treasury Secretary, and I expect to support his nomination.
Wasn't there some mention of a nanny problem, though?
Yes, that was also discovered. And what that involved was that someone who had been legally here with all the proper documentation, legally working in this country, allowed their green card status to lapse. And that happened shortly before they left the employment of Mr. Geithner and his wife. The circumstance, as I understand, this is a person who came into their home once a week for 3 hours, and they did not realize that this person's status had or documentation had lapsed there in the final 2 or 3 months of employment. So, again, I think it's an unfortunate fact, but I certainly don't see this as anything that would disqualify him from serving in the president's cabinet.
Just one other quick question. What did he say regarding how he thought the remaining funding, you know, for the early appropriated, you know, I guess, rescue fund should be used? Did he give any ideas as to how he would like to see the money approved that was earlier approved for the financial institutions?
Well, I think what he's we haven't had the hearing yet with where he will be asked about that extensively. But as I understand it, he and the other members of the President-elect Obama's economic team have agreed to a whole set of new provisions or new policies with regard to the expenditure of funds from this so-called economic recovery package. And they do believe that we haven't had adequate conditions on the granting of money to financial institutions in this first few months, and we need to change that. So they've committed to do that.
Okay, I'll pass for now.
All right. We're back to you, Sarah. Did you have another question?
I do, Senator. The Senate Finance Committee this week will consider a bill to expand the SCHIP program to cover an additional 3.9 million children. That expansion would be paid for by raising the federal tax on cigarettes from 39 cents to $1 a pack. Do you support that method of expansion, and what impact might it have on New Mexico kids who aren't currently covered by SCHIP?
Well, I do support the proposed expansion, and this will greatly help us in New Mexico. This will dramatically increase the funds available to us in New Mexico to try to provide health care coverage to low and moderate income children and or children of low and moderate income families. So I think this is a positive thing. As you know, we passed this legislation or a version of this legislation in the last Congress. President Bush vetoed it. We did not have enough votes to override his veto, but of course, our newly elected president has indicated his strong support for going ahead with this legislation, and I believe we'll get that done here in the next couple of weeks.
Some cigarette manufacturers say that could cost them with their losing jobs. Is that a concern?
Well, frankly, it's not a great concern to me. I think the the idea that you're going to put an increased tax on cigarettes in order to provide health care to low-income children in the country seems to me to be a very good proposition. The more of a cost is put on cigarettes, the less incentive people have to buy cigarettes and use them. And, of course, the less use of cigarettes, the healthier our population. So there are lots of reasons why it makes sense to both expand coverage for low-income children, but also to pay for it in this way.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bill, are you still there?
Anyone else in the New Mexico delegation plan to forego the Obama inauguration to be at the opening of the legislature next week?
I do not plan to forego the Obama inauguration. Under the normal procedures we follow here in the Senate, members of the Senate sit behind the president there on the dais while he is taking the oath of office and giving his inauguration speech. And then we have a lunch in the Capitol with the president-elect, or the newly sworn-in president at that point, and his wife, and I expect to be there for that.
Okay, many thanks.
Uh-huh. Let me see. Marco is not there. John, did you have another question?
I seem like I always have another question. Looking at Navajo Gallup, which you got through the House as part of the public lands bill, one thing kind of fascinated me that you found a set-aside from the surplus revenues in the reclamation fund. How confident are you that would generate enough income, at least to sustain, construction over two decades, or will you have to find another funding source to augment this?
Well, I think our plan there for getting this funded is to do what we can over the next few years to get appropriations agreed upon by the Appropriations Committee to get started on this Navajo Gallup pipeline and the other parts of the project. And then we made provision that after a certain number of years, if Congress has not appropriated adequate funding to get this project completed, then we go into this reclamation fund and use some excess funds from there. I think one way or the other, I do think we've made adequate provision for the full funding of the project.
Okay, how does this work? Because I've seen this is not a water project. I mean, it's a water line project, but it's not like that controversial one, which was a shortcut to the Mississippi River. Would Congress have to, I guess, authorize so much money per year to keep construction going? Is that the way the process works?
Well, I think what we've done is as part of this legislation, we are authorizing the funds. What Congress would have to do is hopefully appropriate some level of funding each year now for the next several years. As I say, our success in getting that funding appropriated will determine how much we then have to rely upon the reclamation fund to cover later in the process.
As you know, appropriation bills originate in the House, and how does it look from that standpoint? Do you have enough support, you think, in the House to get it included in the budget?
Well, we don't know yet is the honest answer. I think we've got a lot of new players here in the Congress. We're going to have to do a substantial amount of work to get this funded, and I'm sure the entire congressional delegation will be working at it. We'll just see how well we do.
Okay, Senator Craig Kennedy, KKOB.
Yes.
Sorry, we had a little snafu getting on the conference call this morning. I picked up roughly at the time that we were talking about Secretary-designate Chu. So I apologize to my colleagues if I'm going to cover any old ground here, but very briefly, I had a couple questions I wanted to ask. First off, in the new Congress, what are perhaps the most likely areas that we could see attempts for new tax increases, and what, if any, might you be inclined to support?
Well, frankly, I don't think you'll see any effort at tax increases until we get this current economic circumstance behind us. The truth is our economy continues to weaken, and the priority for the newly elected president and for the new Congress is to stimulate economic activity, grow, get the economy growing again, and that will be a the priority for at least the coming months, and it could wind up being more than just months. So I don't expect that there'll be any real support for tax increases during that period.
Senator, on the second half of the $700 billion for the financial bailout, were you disappointed in the direction that Secretary Paulson took the whole thing? I mean, with basically big banks gobbling up smaller, weaker banks, and then what changes or what would you really like to see directed for the second half?
Well, I was disappointed that we didn't see more of the funds actually go to solve the problem of foreclosures and keeping people in their homes. I think that was clearly one of the things that many of us expected some of that money to be devoted to. I also was disappointed that we didn't have more requirements on the financial institutions that were receiving some of this so-called bailout money, requirements for them to go ahead and lend that money and get credit flowing again, I think in particular, but also requirements as to executive compensation and a variety of other things. So we're hoping that as to any additional funding that is provided to financial institutions, those requirements will be in place, and we're assured by the new newly elected president that he will put those requirements in place.
Do you think that banks buying banks will really have any of the intended effect?
No, I really don't. I think what we need to do is to identify which of our financial institutions are strong enough to survive and help them survive, and ones that are not strong enough to survive, we need to find a way to have them in an orderly fashion, if possible, go out of business. So that's what I think the priority for the country is.
So if you don't think that it will have the intended effect, do you think that that $350 billion was essentially wasted or went the wrong direction?
Well, I can't say that at this point, because I do think a case can be made that the funds that have been spent have helped stabilize financial markets and have helped restore some confidence in our financial institutions. It's clear that they haven't done everything that needs doing, but none of us know what would have occurred had that funding not been provided. And so that's the difficult question.
Senator, thank you.
Uh-huh. John, were you through? Did you have more questions?
Yes, I did. Can I go on?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I just wanted to ask you, with Robert Gates remaining as the Secretary of Defense, and it seemed like part of the Democratic base is urging for the immediate withdrawal from Iraq, what do you see happening? What position can you see soon-to-be President Obama taking?
Well, I don't think we know in great detail, but my expectation is that we will continue to see a drawdown of troops. And Secretary Gates, I think, is committed, of course, to following the directions of the president. And that may be accelerated somewhat once President Obama is in office. It may be accelerated from what it otherwise is scheduled to be. I think the details of it we'll just have to see.
How surprised were you he decided, at least for the time being, to retain Secretary Gates, that being President-elect Obama?
Well, I was not that surprised. There was a lot of support, and frankly, Secretary Gates has been very forthcoming with members of Congress, and those of us who are trying to understand what's going on here, I think he shares the frustrations that many members of Congress have had about the course of events in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Should I go on?
Why don't we go back and see if any of these other folks have any more questions? Sarah, did you have another question?
Your thoughts on later this week, the Senate's expected to have confirmation hearings for Ken Salazar, the nominee for Interior Secretary.
Right.
What are your thoughts on some of the issues that might come up during those confirmation hearings?
Well, in fact, we have that hearing tomorrow morning in our Energy and Natural Resources Committee. I believe Ken Salazar will have strong bipartisan support for his nomination to the position of Secretary of Interior. He'll be asked about a variety of issues. He'll be asked about offshore oil and gas production. He'll be asked about mining law reform. He'll be asked about oil shale and development of oil shale in his own state of Colorado and other parts of the West. And I'm sure that there'll be a lot of other issues that aren't occurring to me at the moment. But he's very informed about the issues that the Department of Interior is responsible for, and I think he'll have strong support.
Do you think that he'll bring any new priorities to the department?
I'm sure he will bring new priorities to the department, and I'm looking forward to hearing him testify as to what those are.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bill, are you still there? I think maybe we lost Bill. John, let's go to you.
Okay, a couple other topics. I was talking to the U.S. Attorney Greg Farratt yesterday in an interview, and obviously he serves at the pleasure of the president. And what are you going to do differently, say, this time with a new president for the appointment of U.S. attorneys, at least one here in New Mexico? Are you and Senator Udall going to get together and make a recommendation to then soon-to-be President Obama, or how's that going to work?
Well, I think at some stage here, we clearly would expect to do that. I think the normal course would be for the new president to, once he has his attorney general in office, then to go ahead and make the other appointments that are there to be made as part of the Department of Justice. So one of those is the U.S. attorney's position in each state and each judicial area. So I would expect that Senator Udall and I would try to talk to the people who've demonstrated an interest in that position and make a decision at that time.
How different will it maybe be this time, even with President Obama? Will it be similar to what trying to clean up what may have happened during the Bush administration under former AG Gonzalez and how he handled the U.S. attorney appointments?
Well, I believe there'll be a strong commitment by this president and this new attorney general to be sure that we do not see the Department of Justice politicized, as I believe it was in the Bush administration. And I think all the evidence pretty clearly demonstrates that many of the decisions being made in the Department of Justice in Washington were being driven by political considerations rather than by the concern for implementation of the laws, which is the responsibility of the Attorney General.
And going to something else, since you're on the Human Services Committee, how soon can you see the reauthorization of No Child Left Behind coming up this session?
Frankly, I don't know how quickly it'll come up. There's so many issues competing for early attention in this new administration that it's hard at this point to tell you what the timing is going to be. I know that there is a great desire to get that legislation reauthorized. I share that desire, but how quickly we get it done, I think we just don't know yet.
For those who may be wanting to know, can you see some form of it being reauthorized? You don't see it going away, do you?
No, I think some version of No Child Left Behind will be reauthorized. I don't know that we'll keep the name, but the basic outline of the legislation, I think, will remain.
Can I ask you one other thing, and I'll
sure.
shut up?
Sure.
One of the topics you and I have at least discussed or I've asked you about is, under the Medicare prescription bill, you always thought that the government should start negotiating directly with the pharmaceutical companies. What's the chance of maybe that coming up soon? I know there's other problems. Could you see maybe a change in policy there fairly soon?
Frankly, I don't know if that would come up separate from a more comprehensive health care reform effort or not. Again, we're trying to determine how many healthcare issues we try to deal with on a standalone basis. I think the decision's been made to deal with children's health insurance on a standalone basis prior to getting into a comprehensive health care reform legislation, but I don't know that we would take up this issue that you're talking about as standalone as well.
That's all I have. Thank you, Senator.
Okay. Sarah, did you have anything more?
I don't. Thank you.
Okay. And I guess Bill's left us and everyone else. So thank you all for talking with me.